You were not here on Sunday. You missed a big debate on Sunday. Because we have to do it on Sunday. The one I said we're going to make these elders to tell of their testimony. Yeah. We didn't go that far because Pastor Iman has something to, Peter also has something to say, but we only were able to go as far as Pastor Yato. So I tried to record it. Somehow it didn't record. Too bad. Well, don't worry. That was yours. You didn't record.
Oh, okay. So let me check your mic right now.
It's right now because I noticed that the battery went off. Oh. I didn't. So this time, I hope it's recording right now. So because it's nice to record this thing so that we can at least somebody else can listen to it. It's recording now. Yeah, it's recording, and I replaced the battery. Okay. So, yeah, the battery, everything is recording right now. So we hope that we're going to get good testimony from, except that the wives are not here. So we only have to just get the man's side of it. But what we're trying to do is to see the simplicity of how God talks. I know that Sister Ebu, when she gave her own testimony, she had a trance. I'm just trying to bring you to understand more like a feeling. She had a trance. And Pastor Yato, he had voice not from the Lord. He has been used to that, so he could hear only Lord. So, but we read through the story of Isaac. And I thought we read that also last week, but I actually read through it and made us to see that this simplicity that God spoke to somebody that was not a prophet, the servant of Abraham, and how he just prayed, and God actually put that prayer in his mouth. That is what we have to remember. God put that prayer in his heart, and as he just said it, he said, Rebekah, the wife of Isaac, came forward, and he said exactly what he wanted to say, and what he planned, what he prayed that Rebekah or the woman would say, was what that woman said. And that shows how God led him. And when he started talking to the parents of Rebekah, which they were not really, we do not know that they were actually worshiping God, but they have knowledge of God, they confirmed that the Lord has said indeed. So that, if that's so simple, we are all hearing from God one way or the other. We are hearing from God one way or the other. Sometimes we don't acknowledge him. Like those people in the Bible acknowledge him. And that is what the emphasis is. And we're going to just go 1-2 Bible verses and we call each of our brother that's ready to come and give his own example of testimony of how the Lord led him. Unless, of course, if we have enough time. By man, are you ready for today or you want your wife to be here next time?
No, I can do it.
Okay. And by Peter, are you ready for today? Okay. So they will more or less tell. I'm good. I make it like an interview because of the audience. You know, if this time it doesn't have to be interview, but if you want me to ask the question so that you can tell us exactly what you, I don't want you to go into too long story. I want to tell us exactly how you know this is what the Lord said and how you met the fellow and then how you decided that this is the woman that the Lord was seeing. And that is what we say, how did the Lord lead me? Let me read one Bible verse again that I must have read the other time before I give the microphone to one of my brethren. In the book of Psalm 91 verse 15. Psalm 91 verse 15. Now the reason why I wanted to bring this part in because this is going to be the last exhortation, so I'll just get you guys in today. But in Psalm 91 verse 15, what I want to point out in this Bible verse is the fact that even though we say the Lord leads us, even when the Lord leads us, does not mean you may not make a mistake. I want us to remember that. When the Lord leads people, God can lead you in, you can be certain and so sure that it is the Lord that said it, and the Lord led you. But that does not mean it's going to be red carpet. So you have to remember that. It's not the red carpet that nothing will go wrong on the road. Because we can see in all the stories in the Bible, many people that we know, the Lord led them, and yet they run into confrontation. They run into trouble. But God said, I will be with you in trouble, even in that trouble. So you have to remember that, because many times we assume that if the Lord is the one that led me this way, why is there a problem? And that's not mean there will be no problem. And we can give examples of men in the Bible, not only through marriage or something. And a good example is that of Isaac. If you're talking of just marriage now, or choosing a partner, we know they can say, well, ye, how can you marry somebody like this? See, well, the Lord chose it. You, how can you marry somebody you didn't even know, this woman? She didn't even know you. You just jump by faith. Okay? Well, somebody can say, well, that's why you have problems, because they waited almost 10 years. No baby. You say, well, I told you so. Some people say, I told you so. I'm not sure it was God. See, but you can see God was the one that started it. And when it looked like they are not having a baby, they prayed unto the Lord, and God brought the baby. Because God didn't plan that he would be like Abraham for another 25 years anyway. But the problem of having no child for 5, 6, 7 years, anybody would have said, this is what we told you. You have to have listened to us. So what I'm saying then is that even when God leads you in a path, don't think where it's foolproof. No, it's not foolproof. God can still allow all of those situations. Another example, God led Abraham to come to this land of promise. And when he got there, he found famine in the land. And he has to do something. Gee, we can stay here. He tried to move to Egypt. Even though God leads you in this path, does not mean there will be no trouble. Just remember that there could be situations, but God promised, I will be with you in trouble. So we have to raise ourselves. That's why I'm reading Psalm 91 verse 15 that says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Remember that. Even when he is leading you, there may be trouble on the road. Exodus chapter 14 also, we see God told them to go this direction. Exodus chapter 14 is another example of God leading these people, but he led them into almost like a trouble. Verse 1 to 4, the Bible says, God told Moses to go this direction. So they could have said, Moses, why in the world did you lead us in this direction? You have missed God. You are no more hearing from God. But God is the one that made them go in that direction. Exodus chapter 14, let me just read verse 1 to 4. And the Lord speak unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord, and they did so. So why am I reading that? Just to tell us the same thing. God has his own plan. Sometimes he chooses you to be the one who is going to be the experimental apparatus, I like to call it. We don't wish that we are the apparatus. We want to be the one that is just have everything smooth and easy. But sometimes God wants to show his power. He has to use somebody. So he told Moses, he said, turn this way and come by the sea. I'm going to call Pharaoh to come after them. But you see, he didn't tell all the Israelites. He only told Moses. So when the Israelites started coming, who were afraid? They were all screaming and crying. So just to make us to know that, hey, we may say the Lord led us, does not mean there will be no challenge. So let's first settle that in our mind. Okay, and now I'm going to ask, since my man is not here, but Peter, you are going to tell us in a form of interview, perhaps, how you, when you first met your wife, and how you decide that, how the Lord led you that this is the woman, not the other sister. I'm recording it, so I want you to say it close to me.
I was in Phoenix, Arizona at that time.
Oh.
We were still together.
That's when you know me? That's when you know your wife? When you met him, when you met her first?
She had been
in the fellowship, okay.
Coming to different meetings, camp meetings, fellowships here and there. So okay. I've seen her over the years, but not in my wildest dream did I think she will be the woman that's going to marry me at all.
Okay. So then, go ahead. When did you decide that this sister is the one? Or did you hear that from her?
Well, after I came, I had left Nigeria and was in the U.S. for about 9 months. At that time, I know you and I were roommates in your apartment.
You are sharing my room.
I'm sharing.
She's roommate to me. No, I put you up. Yes, that's true. I make sure you
put. Anyway, so she was in Nigeria at that time, and I did pray that the Lord would create my counsel to pray together. I had opportunities to have, you know, married her, but personally, I made up my mind, I was not going to marry somebody here. One, because of cultural difference, and I wasn't going to marry, excuse me, any person other than somebody I've known from Nigeria, period, because that's where I grew up, just to avoid challenges and stuff like that. Then I wasn't too sure at that time when I was over here, because I've been gone almost a year, whether she was still single or not. Maybe people had inquired about marrying her and stuff like that. But I pray and believe God that when I get there, if she's the one, it'll work out.
But wait a minute, but you said when you are here,
yes,
that's when you decided or when you heard that she'll be the one? Because you already know many sisters in Nigeria.
Well, there are many sisters who are in Nigeria.
So how did you hear from the Lord that this particular sister?
I will not say to you that I heard from the Lord a voice, a word, anything, but I had an open mind that one thing for sure, I wasn't going to marry an unbeliever. Two, I wasn't going to marry from here.
Okay.
I was going to marry somebody from where. And I, in my head, said, well, all these sisters, this person's married, that person's married, who else is there that couldn't be married, wasn't married, could probably not be married. And I pray, Lord, if she's the one, by the time I get there, hopefully she's not married.
Okay, so I'm trying to get it clear now. Because my brother was here with us, with me in America, but you knew all the sisters in Nigeria, not just your wife, you knew some other sisters, perhaps, that were not married then. So then you said, so when you began to pray and say, Lord, then your mind went to her, that particular sister.
Yes.
Okay. So see, the Lord speak to your mind, so you know that particular sister, you know she was not married before you left. So you started saying, if she is one, okay, great.
So that was how simple my prayer was, that Lord, if she's the one, she will still be hope, put it that way. And I prayed and left it there. But I tell you what, as soon as my flight goes to Nigeria, where my passport call was Benin. So, and I, she lived in Benin, lived in the Barrow, which is about, I said, 5-6 hour drive at that time, where she was at. So I had to drive down 5-6 hours to make the inquiry, and she said yes. So I was already made up for that, because I had to also at that time, you know. Coincidentally, most people would hope, most men usually have problems or challenges maybe from the bride's part, you know, oh, no, at this part, everything just on her part, their family side and all that stuff, there was no huge, they just loved me and they just took me in.
Please go.
To be honest with you, that took me away as 2-3. Most of the challenges we had was even on my side. I mean, was hard on my side.
And your parents' side?
Well, both my parents were dead. My older sisters and stuff like that, they thought that, no, I couldn't marry this girl. I couldn't marry her. I mean, one of them literally threw me out of the house. Refused to attend the wedding, refused this, that, and that. I mean, I just went.
Praise God.
And some of them thought, it will not last 3 months in marriage. They, some of them said that. And each of those that fought us then, they all split. They're all separated and God have you rescued. So by the grace of God, we are still here.
You know Amen. Why?
Why the reason?
Why did they do that? What was their problem?
What's their problem? I think no, well, I think one was cultural because they didn't know her, they never saw her. I had a, for lack of a better word, had a whirlwind courtship. I left.
Quick, okay.
Was quick. I left the States, I think about May of 2000. Yes. Anyway, May of 2003 or something like that, 2002 or something.
2000.
No, I'm sorry, 1982, 83, somewhere in 82, 83. Yeah. And I got there, and within 3-4 months, we were married. What had happened was they had been planning a big wedding for my immediate younger sister to take place in July or something like that. And I came on the scene. I said, hey, I'm getting married. But you didn't tell us this. We don't know the girl. We didn't know this. Blah, blah, blah. Who is she? Blah, blah, blah. And the story went on and on. She doesn't speak Yoruba. They looked at her from head to toe. She looked like a high society
lady
from Lagos who wouldn't sit down.
Yeah. That's...
So that kind of a thing. So my older sister, my... They all just said, no. There's no way. I said, well, sorry. There's a way. I'm moving ahead. And so that was those cultural differences. And I never gave her an opportunity to know her, talk to her, and stuff like that. And I didn't, but it just didn't happen that this couldn't be. It couldn't be. You couldn't have. You first day you brought here, you tell us you get married. First, the only girl I ever brought them to them, you know, never brought anybody else, and we had 2, 3, 4 months, we were married. So anyway, we planned the wedding, they said yes or didn't say no, it didn't matter to me, I planned everything, and so I did crash my younger sister's wedding that was supposed to take place before mine. I set my date ahead of hers, did whatever I had to do, and then I waited. My wedding was June 25th, my sister's now been planning for months, it was July. I waited July, did their hard wedding. I left, was back in the States. So maybe that was it. But all things work together for good. Eventually they all come to love her and they really love all of them are Christians. And sorry, but we didn't know.
So during that time they were not, or your sisters were not really born again?
Oh, no. None of them were born again.
Okay.
I mean, other than, none of them were born again. None of them were born again. But over time, they kicked me out. She literally kicked me out of her house, kicked us both out of her house. Say, get out of here. So that's the long story of it.
Praise God. So that seems to be, that just summarized. Maybe next time we hear from Sister Christy. Praise the Lord. So you can see the simplicity of hearing from God is really what we are talking about. See how the brother said, he just, from a distance, he knew all these women over there, but Lord, and then our mind just go to one person. And that is how the Lord will talk to you too, just as simple as that, turning your mind. Praise God. Brian Ma, you want to tell us? I know Brian Ma a little bit. When he came over here, I remember, maybe you couldn't remember.
Okay.
He told me that, Brother Julius, help me. I'm looking.
Oh, okay.
So, which means he was younger.
Yeah,
so, I don't know. And I was looking for him. Suddenly, he said, no, don't look anymore. I already found one. Please, tell us.
Please, let me stand up.
Right.
Well, it's funny story, but I'm going to summarize it, this thing about hearing from God. It's real. Most of the way that God speaks to me is through dreams. At times it's like I'm seeing this stuff, at times I wake up or I'm sleeping, I see through it, or at times it's like I'm sitting here and I try to see those things happen. But At times it's so fuzzy that I can't make sense of it, so I pray and leave it at that. But in case of my wife, it was different. It was at a point in my life that I'm going through a real serious trial. I meet with serious disappointment. I have nowhere to put my head. I was more like a cast out, and it was a really frustrating time for me. I've experienced hardship in my life, but that was one of the low part of my life. So having nowhere to go, I usually go into fasting. And I went to this brother's house, Brother Emeka, he's in Belize, and squatted with him because I used to squat with people. And he, knowing what I was going through, asked me to come to school and encourage some students on trials, things about trials and stuff, you know, speak to them about trials, because some of those students are going through trials. So I went to the school to speak to the students. It was girls' school. There were a bunch of students that were gathered in a classroom or somewhere, and I acknowledged them about trials of life and stuff. Finished talking to them, left with a brother to go back to his house where I was staying with him for a short time. On the way, I looked through the window. He had this Volkswagen, this tiny Volkswagen car. I looked through the window, and there was a girl that was standing across the street, far from where we are. I couldn't see her very well. It wasn't clear, I wasn't defined. And just like I'm speaking to you, I didn't know it was God in those days, just the way I see things. That is going to be your wife. I say, did you say something? No. Who is that girl across the street? So he kind of slowed down and looked and said, that's okay, he was in there. That's my wife today. She was in our meeting, the meeting we just had. I said, where is she from? So he gave me a little background on her, and I just waved it up because at that point, I didn't even have anything to my name. I'm much more thinking of marrying a girl or whatever. I later found out that she came from a well-to-do family. So I just waved it up and said, they wouldn't even talk to me even if I think of going to that level. 2 years down the line, I got a call, and by then I was in Lagos, squatting with Bro Roland again. I was still squatting with people. And I got a call from him, and that girl is coming to Lagos to stay with one of the brother-in-law, and that I should go pick her up and take her to church. That's Bro Roland's church. So I had this borrowed car that somebody had lent to me to use for some time. So I cleaned the car up just to, you know, look, make it look like I'm somebody. Finally, so, I cleaned the car, you know, fixed the tire and the battery that has always been going down. So I went to pick her to church, you know, somewhere. And the car is racing right in front of that place and packed up again. So, and she has to push the car for a very long time. And that was really, really bad.
You mean she was pushing it, you were driving?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to start it. So as she was pushing, God reminded me again that that is your wife.
Why?
It was a borrowed car, it wasn't my car. It wasn't borrowed, but left it to me. And just one of the worst cars you have ever seen in life. I mean, it's useless. So, well, that thing came back to me the second time again. Within a year or two, I left Nigeria because some of my focus was how do I get out of Nigeria. So I went to Belize. And as I was there, the issue of getting a paper because I was about to be deported. I was going to marry a girl for that reason. In fact, I got into sin and stuff with that girl because of the purpose of that, trying to get married and get my papers and stuff. Made a lot of mistakes along the way in that area. Seriously considering marrying this girl just for that purpose, you know, to have a residency. Finally, I got out of Nigeria and I was about to be deported. And I was told again that your wife is in Nigeria. So I canceled that idea of marrying and didn't go through with it. caused me a lot of problems along the way, but I wouldn't disobey this function. So I didn't go anywhere. But since I left, I never really talked to her, because it's like something in my past. I don't even want to go there, anything. So finally, I got to the United States, and I got introduced to a lot of young ladies. In those days, I was looking around myself seriously to some Christian to marry here and stay here, because that's another way to get my papers. And I got invited. I was introduced to many girls and stuff, but none of them did I consider seriously, because I was praying for the right one. So I finally found the right one in California. Well, what made her right was that she came from a well-to-do family, very rich family from our part. She's a citizen, she has cars, she has everything, she's very good looking. My friend called me, somebody called me and said, come over to California. So I already went to California, and they threw a party for us, brought out the champagne, opened it, you know, asked the girl whether she liked me. She said, yes. Asked me whether I liked her. I said, of course. I mean, this is exactly what I'm looking for. She's a citizen. She's came from a well-to-do family. And the point of my story is to know that not only that God can lead us, but we have to be obedient to His leading. And I wasn't really obedient, because all the while I was looking, I knew what God had spoken to me on several occasions regarding who is my wife. But how am I going to consider marrying her? I don't even have my papers here. How am I going to bring her? I don't have money. So I spoke to even a brother or two. I don't want to name names. And they tell me, forget it. You don't have papers. How are you going to be able to go to my, you can't even go to my mind. So are you sure it is from the Lord? At that same point, I got a call from somebody else telling me, thus said the Lord, that this other person, that there's somebody that is supposed to be your wife, and that is thus said the Lord. You know, things were happening like that. So this girl came up, and I was fully into getting married to that girl. And because of the where she came from, her family is governor in my state, Governor Mudo, Mudo family. Very popular. I was surprised that she even wanted me. And then the mother or the mother-in-law or somebody like that liked me, because when they opened the champagne, I told them that I don't drink. And the woman said, ah, an Igbo man that doesn't drink. She started thanking God. So finally that everybody here is a drunkard. I'm the only one, and it is my party, and I'm not drinking. I said, no. When I went inside with the girl into her car to go to another party from that one, she put on Michael Jackson, what they call it, what,
music.
Music, okay. I said, what kind of music do I like? I said, what do you like? So she put on Michael Jackson stuff, and then Whispy said, you are making a mistake. So I closed my mind to that voice. I didn't want to miss it. Along the way, something happened. She drove to a corner and made a wrong turn, and we went to an alleyway, you know, like, you know what they call an alleyway, and it was full of gang boys and stuff. And she came to a stop and started shouting and crying and manifesting strange action. I said, what is going on? She said that they just killed a girl here last week because the mother made a wrong turn into this place. And she now in the same, and those gang boys were standing around looking at us. You cannot back out. You can only go one way, and they were blocking us. So she was manifesting, and he said, Spirit again, tell me that is not your wife. That your wife wouldn't behave like this in a situation in this sense. I said, well, I don't have a wife yet. The person you are telling me is my wife is thousands of miles away. I don't have money. I don't have residency. And this was going through my mind there. So after some time, I said to the Lord, as long as I'm in this car, nothing will happen to us. Just back out slowly into the street. And we made a long way back and got to the second party. Because this was serious. This is what I'm looking for. She's a citizen. She has money. She's beautiful. You know, everything that I would think of in a wife is there. I don't have to worry about how to marry her. The parents tell me they will take care of everything. So I came back and I went to the man of God in prison. There was a prayer line that day, and I went up to the pulpit and said, that I have a decision to make and I need God to guide me. I pray that God will give me His guidance on this issue. And I went back, and then when I went to sleep, I found myself walking with that girl, and we were walking on a really nice road like this, but that road, we continue walking and we come to a point, and it's like a T, like this. This road got to the point, it's either you go that way or you go that way. So we got to the point, I went one way and she went one way. So I woke up and tried to figure out what is, and the habitation came saying, I will run into trouble if I marry this girl and she will, or I will leave, there will be a divorce somewhere along the way. So I said, at this point, I can't handle it again. I picked up the phone and told her, I can't go ahead with this. Why? I don't really have to give any reason. I don't have good reason to give because nobody will understand this. So the people who introduced me to her stopped, they were kind of not happy with me. So at that point, my mother was bugging me about marriage. I'm the only son and stuff. You know, they were telling me. So I started praying. And then I told that early that year was somewhere in January before the end of the year that night, that if God does not reveal to me who is going to be my wife, which he already did, and I didn't find a wife, I'll go ahead and marry my wife, the one that God showed me. So that night came late in the night, and I picked up the phone. I never called my wife before. I tried to have to call around to get the number where she's working. She's a secretary in an office. And then I called, and that was one of the worst proposals I have ever had, because really, I wasn't doing this willingly, because the situation is way beyond what I can handle. I don't know how I'm going to bring her here. It took a lot of courage, you know. I have to be in my shoes to understand this. I don't have the money. I don't have the wherewithal. The papers is not there. And you are telling somebody you are going to marry her. So I picked up the phone and said, is that you? He said, ah, you finally called me and said yes. I said, I guess we just have to go and get married there. That's how I propose. Because I was angry. There is all these girls that can help me with what I really need. And I have to go marry somebody. And like this. So I said, I guess we just have to go and get married there. So it was later on that she told me that she started a 30-day fast, partial fast, and told God that at the end of midnight of the day I called her, it would be the 30th day, if I didn't get to her, because there was other people coming to propose to her, telling her that, wanting to marry her, and the family were getting disturbed and say, what is wrong with you? These nice people coming. But God had revealed to her that I'm going to be her husband, but it's not manifesting. Gone to any part of the world, I didn't even communicate with her and say, if at that day, at 30 days of fasting, I didn't call, then she would go ahead and marry any of these other people. And I called just before the 30 days. I called just before the 30 days was over of the fast. So I can see the hand of God. And just as Brother is saying, even though God was in this, there was still challenges in every aspect of it.
Glory.
Because we grow,
he
saw us through each and every way.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God. Amen. Praise God. You can see the way the Lord moves, and the Lord is merciful. Our brother also mentioned something very, when we say the Lord leads, it doesn't force you. It doesn't force. Even if the Lord says, invest in that business, you are going to make a lot of money, you don't believe it. What will he do? Is he going to force you to do it? No. You may be greed for a while. And if you just say, no, I'm not investing, it will be your loss. It's just the same way. If somebody is saying, no, I don't like this one, the Lord said I should go, I don't like it. It could be men and women. A woman can also see from the Lord, and the Lord said, this man is going to be, and the woman can look at her and say, no, I don't want this one. God is not going to force it. God is not going to force it. So just like a brother said, he has so many reasons, he prefers something like this and not that one. But it reminded me of a brother when we were still in Nigeria in the university. one minister of the gospel married, but he said he wrestled with it for 2 years. Because when he was in college, in the same University of Ife, God has showed to him a very, I don't know what to call, a term, looking for an adjective to describe this sister. If you are talking about a sister that is so rugged, rugged sister, I mean one of the holy rulers, the most holy ruler of the holy ruler among the SUs. And the brother didn't like that one. He wanted the fashionable ones. So he didn't propose. He more or less just knew the sister in the fellowship. And he said, no, I don't want this one. 2 years he went ministering, gospel ministry. And he was giving his testimony when he was finally, when they were getting married. He gave the testimony. He said that when each time he would ask the Lord, Lord say, if you keep asking me, that is the one. If you don't, you can go choose whatever you like. That was how he gave his testimony. And then after he waited 2 years, and the Lord said, well, if you keep asking me, this is the one. But if you want to do your own thing, you go do. He finally came back. Well, by that time he was already graduated from college. But this sister was still in college. And then he came back and proposed, and they did their wedding when we were in college. I remember we were singing, I was one of the choir members. So that was when he gave the testimony. So God won't force you, even in this situation, even in this type of choices. But the fellow can do whatever he wants to because he is a gentle God. The same way in business, in any way, he is good God, but he wants to lead us and we want to be obedient. Like God said, obedient is a choice. Obedience is a choice. Praise God. I know my wife would like to give her own testimony. We still have some time. So let's ask my wife to come and give her own testimony. Let's hear from a lady at least. Praise God.
Praise
God. Just your own part of it. Praise God.
Praise you, the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is good. I met my husband for the first time, I think, in 1979. That was after my high school. I came to live with my brother, who was already, graduated and working in Abeokuta. So he was one of the, my brother has a big house, like a four-bedroom, and he wasn't married. So some of the brethren will come sometimes to, maybe for the weekend, to come and fast and all of those stuff. I remember the first weekend that I came over with my cousin. We both, finished from high school, and we're waiting for our results so we can go to college. So during that time also, before the result of the exam came out, we also were looking for a job. So that weekend, when we came, there were other two brothers that were fasting, in my brother's house that weekend. So one of them actually led me to the Lord. So that's how, I started, going to the fellowship, and then luckily for me, maybe about a month later, there was supposed to be like a camp meeting. So that camp meeting was where I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So to call it short, well, I knew that, maybe I don't know whether 2 or 3 months after I came to the university, I thought that I'm going to Lagos, right? Off and on like that, I don't know how many times. But the one that was really hard to do, because that was the first time I actually, really pay attention. There's so many of them. They come, they go. So I really don't really pay any attention to anybody. So I remember he came one time and said, he will be traveling to the US and he wanted us to come. He's been coming something by, we should come and visit him at Atlanta. So we went for that. I think we got there like Saturday. They usually have like a Saturday meeting. So we attended that meeting, and we also stayed for the Sunday fellowship. So I remember when we were leaving, myself, my cousin, he told us, you know, almost like we sat down and told us that, you know, God told him to move from Nigeria, he's leaving in a couple of months to go to the US, and probably he'll never come back to Nigeria. So he also said, he went ahead and said he had something for me, went ahead and brought this blouse, this blue blouse, and said that when he traveled, when I was traveling, that God told him to buy it and give it to the sister he was going to marry.
I said that? Later?
Let me talk my story.
I can't remember.
So, he went ahead, he said, but you know, now that he's living in Nigeria, he's probably not going to marry, so that if I don't like it, I can just skip it. So I took the blouse. I knew then that it wasn't, I didn't even look anything, I looked like a sinner then. So I didn't look like somebody who is ready to marry. So to me, it's just like, you know, something that was supposed to happen.
Like a little sister, that's what I mean, she was little sister.
So he left, and there was no communication, nothing. For almost, I got admission to college, and so also my cousin, for about 3-4 years, and then after my college education in Nigeria, we go for something they call NYS, to another state, we posted to another state so we can learn their culture. So I was posted to like Imo State. I didn't understand their language, they don't understand me, you know, and I was posted to this village. For that 1 year, physically speaking, it was miserable for me, but spiritually speaking, it was good for me, because I was, you know, just alone, and I have plenty of time. So I get to read my Bible a lot, I have time to go, you know, I decided that I would just, instead of not doing anything, I would go to the hospital to be helping them and all of those stuff. So I was doing some witnessing and just reading my Bible. And around that time, within that 1 year, I got so close to the Lord. It was like heaven on earth for me. It's like I'll be walking, almost like you're walking and talking with your friend. So I enjoy it spiritually. So during that time, I remember before the end of the NYC, one of my friends, that was also a comeback. She came to visit me, she was already engaged too. So she asked, she's like, do I have somebody that was going to be married to? I said, no. But I feel like I'm already married. She's like, no, marriage is like a physical thing. If you're married, you have to have, the person has to be physical, you know, it's not like that. So I said, marriage is like, if you feel, I don't feel lonely, I don't feel the presence of the Lord, but the Lord is not going to marry you. You have to find somebody, you know, physical. So during that time, I remember before the end of the NYSC, I went home. I think around that time, my husband has called, Brad Charles there, just to ask them. I said, what about your sister? Where is she right now? What is he doing? So they told him that where I was, and gave him like the address and all of those. If you like, you can, you know, write her or anything. But I didn't receive any letters. So when I came back, they were kind of looking at me as if I was going to say something. I didn't have anything to say. I didn't receive any letter, nothing. So finally, I came back home and I got posted to a school where I was teaching. So before I left for that posting, I remember, you know, waiting upon the Lord that weekend and praying. But I know right now that when you're still in school, you are around your friends and all of those. But the moment you get out of school and you're now by yourself, that's when you feel that you do need a partner and all of those stuff. So I pray that Lord, you know, up until now, I don't really feel or think I need even married, you know. So that I want God Himself to reveal, to show me who the person will be. So by that Sunday, I remember almost like, you know, you're talking to a friend. I could feel His presence, like we just conversing back and forth, back and forth. So I left the room and I went. My brother usually have like a bookshelf. So I just feel like, let me go there and go pick up one book I can read. So I was, as I was looking through those books, there was some, and my husband had some like a literature witnessing pamphlets. You know, my brother has them and also some of those sermon books. So as I was going through those books, I pick up one of His own sermon books. And right there, the Lord said, that's the person. So I look at it, I'm like, I know this person. I was, you know, within me, laughing, that I know him, and I know he left Nigeria, and I know he's not coming back to Nigeria. So I just, you know, just like a friend, you know, talking, and I said, well, only you, God, can make it happen. But I'm not going to tell anybody, and I'm going to just wait and see how the whole thing will come together. So I put it down, I didn't talk to, I didn't tell my brother, nobody.
Oh, okay. So that's all. That's all. Is that all you want to say? Yeah. Praise God. No. No. He said that's all he wanted to say.
Oh.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
That's all. Because we didn't hear the end of the story.
Praise the Lord. But you have not told them the rest of the story. How did you? She has said her own part now, but there's still some part she has not said. Maybe she wanted to say that. You want me to ask a question? Okay. After, let's make it like interview. After then, you say you saw the book and the Lord told you that this is the man. You say, well, hopefully. So after that, what happened? I mean,
I know it took like a while before. I'm trying to remember right now. I remember that I got like a phone call. I don't know what I threw.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay,
let me, maybe I should then.
Yeah, you say your part.
Praise God. My sister has a question.
I knew something about it.
Oh, she knew something about it. Maybe she,
No.
On that support, is he supporting her or what?
Let's hear from you.
Okay, praise God. Okay, praise God. As we told, third part. Praise God. We have enough time, so let me give, the part that are so interesting that my wife didn't see, because she just glanced through that. The first time I met her, I met my wife, like she said, I will go from my station, which was Abeokuta, is in between Lagos and Ibadan, and I lived in between Abeokuta and Ibadan, just another town. So anytime I wanted to go to Lagos, going through Our brother happens to be my classmate. We actually went through NYSC. We were in the same college, the same dorm, and we graduated at the same time. Our room is here. My room is next. So when God was going to make things happen, we were posted for NYSC together to the same place. So when we were graduating, I said, well, we are also SU, Scripture Union members. You know, that's like a church. So we were in the same fellowship. So where are you going? Oh, I'm going to the Plateau State. Oh, that's where I'm posted to. And everybody, we have to report there at least for the first month before you go to your companies where you're going to work. So me and him were posted to that place. So we became like, we were not really close friends other than just brethren before we are in the church together. But now that we are being posted together to the same place where we just shook hands together and said, well, we're going to ride a bus together. So we planned to meet in Lagos and take the Greyhound bus all the way to the northern states where we're going. So we planned that together. I've not met her all this time. The first time, even though when we were doing the graduation, she was like a little sister to the big boy. So I didn't meet her even then. But the first time I would meet her was after the NYSC. We were now walking. I was walking in that place where I call Amlate, and my friend, our brother, was walking in Abeokuta. So anytime I'm going to Lagos, I will branch at the CLO or stay with them for the fellowship. They have fellowship every Saturday. I have fellowship in my place on Sunday. So I will stay with them sometime. I will just fellowship with them sometime. I will exhort. And all those years, that's 77, 78. But by 79, that was when my wife graduated from high school. So I was just, by that time, I used to have this Jeep for preaching that I used to preach about. I've used that for 2 years and it was breaking down. So I decided to go for a regular car. So by the time I got the regular car, in fact, the first time that I was driving that regular car towards Lagos, that was perhaps the first time I said, well, I need to show it to my friend. It was a brand new car. So I was driving in, and the house was in a muddy, you know, when there's a rain, it's a lot of mud. So I didn't know that there was a residue of mud very close to the house. You can see the house about from here to that shop over there, that restaurant. There was a big puddle of mud, and my car just sank and won't go out. Put in a gear, and it was night time, about 7:30 p.m. And I was planning that I would just stay overnight. It was like Saturday or Sunday or something like that. I would stay overnight with my friend and then go from there to Lagos. That was how I usually would drive. But my car just ran into that mud right in front of the house, about a distance from the house. I could see the house like this, and I couldn't get a car in reverse gear or anything. And it was a low car, very low, and all those Chevrolet, I can't remember the model. So I was frustrated. I said, gee, what am I going to do? So I left the car there and just walked across and banged on the fence. Anybody there, I was trying to call him, Rochelle. So they came out. They were not sleeping. She and her cousin was a little bit older than her. They came out and said, they didn't know me. They've never met me. I've never met them. They're like young people. You know, she little children, and I know they are sisters and brothers. Is Rochelle there? And they said, no. So I told them, well, I have a problem. You guys come and help me push my car over here. So they opened the gate. So they came out, and she also came along. The brother, of course, was bigger, taller. So help me push. Let's see whether we can push this car out of this mud. Because I'm trying to come to Brashar's house and stay overnight. Where is he, Brashar? Well, he went to somewhere out of state, out of town. Gee, and I plan to sleep overnight anyway. So I said, okay, I'm going to sleep overnight and then go my way in the morning. But let's see whether you guys can help me push this car. So I went and tried to push it out. We tried, and the water was already, the mud was already getting into the car underneath the driver's section. So it was horrible. So I said, okay, well, I don't think we can get it out of this mud. Let's just leave it there. And I went to sleep, and we all went to sleep. And I stayed in the house. And then early in the morning, I went to call one of those, what they call this big hauling that they used to haul the timber, to come and help me yank it out. So they didn't just give it, they just did it without asking me for money. That was the first time I met her, and I said, who are you? What's your name? You know, like, you meet a little sister of your friend. And that's how I knew, they just finished from high school. And then I think I came later another time and said, well, I'll be traveling. You guys want to come and visit me? But I always love people to come and visit me. I was living in a very beautiful place, but far away, most of the friends don't come. All the graduates that we graduate together, they never show up. I would go to their houses, say, when are you going to come and visit me? It's far away. I know, brah. Peter came once when he wanted to fast. So I said, well, if you're going to fast, don't come to my house. Why? Because I want a fellowship. But when you are fasting and I'm eating, there's no fellowship. So I said, well, if you go to fast next time, don't come to my house. But they started fasting and they came. Food? No. Second, the food? No. Why? What kind of a fellowship is that? We can't talk. So I know. She said, well, if you say you can't come to your house to fast, then they won't come. So it was a remote area, not like a village. So they loved to, only those who wanted to fast and stay away from everybody want to come. But I wanted them to come so that we can have fellowship and have friendship and chat. But when they are fasting, they are not talking. I'm eating and want fellowship and I'm food, so they can chat. So then I left Nigeria. and came to America. All this time I was not really looking. I was waiting. That is key. The key thing is I was waiting. Because right before my eyes, all the sisters that we all left college together were pairing up and getting married and having children. But I was waiting. I just said, Lord, you undo that. So I was not looking. But after I came, and then I will see dreams. Let me say that part. I will see a dream, it's like off and on. Maybe one time I will see a dream, maybe another 6 months later I might see the same similar dream. Because I've said, Lord, you are going to do it when it's your time. I know my parents were already forcing, talking about it, that you are married, you graduated from college now, you have a house, you have where is the woman? I said, well, it's in the hand of the Lord. So my parents were so concerned that I hope this man is not going to be a nun or what do you call it? A monk. So my daddy was so concerned about that. I said, well, so he was actually reporting me to all the people that can talk to me that somehow, we don't know, this man took this religion and it's not bringing any woman that we can see. But that didn't bother me. But at the time, I will pray and the Lord will show a vision of a lady that I just couldn't recognize. Either I didn't see the face or I didn't know the name. But I would just see just a lady, and I thought, oh, that's going to be, oh, well, who is she? I couldn't see the face. So there was a time, I had a dream one time when I was still in Latter Day, that I was on the phone talking to this lady. Looked like that lady was overseas. I was talking on the phone, and that's the wife. But she was overseas, or I was somewhere, she was like cross-country or intercontinental telephone. But that was prophetic. I didn't know about that. I thought, well, I started picking 2 + 2 together. Maybe this fellow is somebody that went overseas to study. And then I had a vision sometime later. These are all these 77, 78, 79, that off and on, those visions will come. And I know, well, if the visions kept coming, the Lord is working on it. So another vision came. It was like this lady was walking, she was a teacher, somewhere around Lagos. I saw it so clearly in that vision that somewhere at the outskirts of Lagos, as we are about to get into that area, as we get to Lagos, that there's a school there, and that woman was there, and she looked like she has just came from overseas. That's, I was saying overseas. And then I said, so I was picking 2 + 2 together. That is the Lord telling me that this lady, because I know some Nigerians went overseas to study, and they came back to Nigeria and do the NYC. So I said, well, maybe that's what it meant. It came to that point that I was actually trying to call some high schools. I know somebody was teaching high school. And of course, there was no telephone in those days, not too much telephone. So there was a time I was going to Lagos, and I was looking at, there could be a high school on this street. And I said, yeah, there's a high school over here on the road to Lagos, very close to Lagos as you are entering from Abeokuta, you know, the first few small towns. I said, maybe it's in that school. Just going through my head and a branch. Is there any Christian group in this place? They said, no. So is anybody, I even think I had some names. Is anybody by Susan so teaching in this place? No. So I forget it. That was how I was trying to figure out how those dreams, whether that is what they mean. But I kept saying overseas. Somebody was from overseas. And I forgot about that and I came to overseas. The Lord brought me over here. So when I came over here in 1981, then I had another vision that, oh, that woman is in Nigeria. I said, well, Lord, you are deceiving me or something. I thought you said the woman is overseas. Now I'm in overseas, the woman is in Nigeria. So those are visions that you don't see the fellow, you don't know the fellow, you don't know. That was going on in those years. Now, with the part of it that became interesting was by 1984. I remember one time that I rented a 3-bedroom in Scorsese. Remember that, Ayato? I remember Ayato came with the family to visit me and he said, Bajulos, why in the way you are alone? Why are you renting a 3-bedroom house? And I told him, well, I'm believing God for your wife. So I was using faith. I said, well, then if it is faith, praise God. So I was already thinking that, Lord, you've got to do something this year or something. You've got to do something this year. Then, while I was praying, just like many of them have testified, while I was praying about this, because it was becoming, I was now becoming lonely. Go to the park, you see all the people with their children, and you are the, and in America the family oriented. Go to the parks in Scottsdale there, you see all everybody and say, geez Lord, I'm just like a loner here. So when I was praying, the Lord brought a thought to my mind, who else is in Nigeria that I even remember, because by that time I was already how many years out of Nigeria, 3-4 years. Who is among the sisters that I even left Nigeria that I even remember? And the Lord just brought my mind back to her. Oh, that sister, that precious little sister, oh yeah, that's almost 4 years ago right now. I wonder where she's at. That was how the Lord just brought in that prayer. I wonder what's happened to her. Is she still in the faith, in the fellowship? Is she still in the faith? I wanted to find out because I somehow ministered to her when I met her. You remember? She may not remember. When, you know, like you see your friend's little sister, I say, are you going to college? She say, yeah. I say, make sure you go to college. It's kind of a thing I was encouraging. When are you going to? So after I've been here for almost 4 years, and I said, oh, wait. And the thought came back to me, oh, what about that sister? Oh, wait a minute, what has happened to her? Is she still in the faith? So then I took my pen and I wrote to Brasha and said, where is that your sister again? Is she still in the faith? Tell her, I said, to put a clue to her why I would be asking. I said, tell her to write me. That's how I wrote the letter. I said, tell her to write me, because perhaps she's in, I know she went to college perhaps, but I didn't know whether she went to college or she finally graduated or something. Then, maybe 3 months later, I saw Brasha's letter. I said, oh yeah, she's in Imo State. And this is her address, if you want to write to her. So I more or less put that one aside because my mind changed before after that. Then after a while, almost another 1.5 years, this is the part that is a little bit interesting. Some brethren will come, like my friends here, Brabolu and all the other, they will come and stay with me and then go back. And then one person called me, because me and Brabolu really, because he was also looking by that time, he came by and told me that he found a sister in Nigeria and we pray along together. Then he called me from Nigeria. He went back to Nigeria. This just come on. This is something. So he called me from Nigeria and said something. I don't know how that happened. That my wife didn't say something about that, but that perhaps is probably, maybe that's where Sister Ebo said she knew something. Babu just called me from Nigeria and said, hey, Brajulo. After we talked something else, he must have called me for something else. They say, hey, Brajulo, there's a sister here that was saying you are going to be our husband. I just laughed. But he didn't remember the name of his sister, because the name was kind of, you know, the name that she used was kind of not common to most of you. So it's like, I said, but he said he's an Ijebu person like yourself. I said, when he said that, I said, Ijebu person, the only Ijebu person I knew was Brother Charles. That is from my home, from my same tribe. So when he said he's an Ijebu person, I said, oh, I just took that. So when I say, oh, where are the Jebu person? Brasha is the only person that I know that, oh yeah, I say, yeah, that's her. But Jola's sister. Oh, because of the letter I've written that I've changed my mind on that, when I say, I just put it aside, I say, maybe Brasha told her that Brajulos called. So maybe that's why the idea started coming to her mind. So I tried to brush it off. Then the Lord brought another vision. The reason why I put it off, really, I can say that it was because of another vision I saw after I wrote the letter. Immediately I wrote the letter, I saw another vision, I said, well, gee, I will be praying for this sister because it looked like maybe she really didn't follow the fellowship. So I said, I will be praying for her. So then 2 years almost passed after that letter that I heard, it was said, hey, the sister here that says you're going to be, I didn't know who told that brother or how he had, but that palace is the one my sister could, my wife palace couldn't remember. Maybe they were asking her and she hinted somebody, and that boy hinted somebody, and came back to her and said, oh, the sister here that is saying you are going to be us. I said, oh, they couldn't remember. I said, well, Ijebu man, like Ijebu man, I don't know, but I know Brasha is saying, oh yeah, that's was his sister. Oh yeah. So I just try to budget aside. Then the Lord showed to me another vision to say, well, the vision I saw that made me change my mind was not the way I interpreted it. Okay. So I said, oh, I see. So then I decided to pursue that. Because like the Lord, you know, normally talked to me in dreams, some vision. Those have been consistently all the years. So now I started picking the two and two together, that the dreams I have been seeing in Nigeria all along, calling on the phone overseas, how I, and somebody working somewhere in teaching in Lagos, those are really prophetic. Because after I now decided to pursue it, I was calling from here back to Nigeria. And she was working, teaching in the high school in outskirts of Lagos at that time. So it's after I began to say, oh yeah, no wonder I was seeing something like that in Lanlate, somebody working somewhere, teaching somewhere in that area, but I didn't know the name nor the face. Then, because she was not even at that stage yet, you'll be seeing prophecies. I was seeing prophecies of things to happen in the future. So that was how, then I called. But to be able to call, there's only one brother in Lagos that really has access to phone, Brother Thomas, because he works in the insurance company. So I would call him. Then I was able to pass message to her through that brother, who was able to deliver the message that come to Lagos and you can talk on the phone to Brother Julius. And of course, she, for her to come and do that, because she has already had her mind in that same direction. So by the time she came to Lagos, from wherever she was working, it was far away, it's really a long trip to get to Lagos and come and talk on the phone. And I already scheduled that she should come around social time, because that would be late and they will be in the office, and I will call. So I called that place and I was able to talk to her for the first time since after I left Nigeria. Because then when I talked to her on the phone, then we heard that this is the situation, okay, all right, so we agreed to do, to go forward. That was the beginning of the courtship. Then the rest of the courtship was on the phone for almost another month. For 1 year, just phone calls, letters, phone calls, before I was able to go back to Nigeria and do the real, which of course we have to send, do the family part. The same brother took her to my hometown to meet my sister, and they did all, and then they arranged for the getting together with the parents, and that was done while I was still here. Praise the Lord. Does that make any sense? But that is how you see how the Lord leads. See, my own is different from our own, different from Brother Yato's, you see, but the Lord is still doing the same thing. And that's showing dreams that look like prophetic, it's going to happen in 5 years or 7 years. And then I really didn't see, but when I started praying, and it just brings somebody's picture to your mind. Almost like how Brother said, he just knew after he was praying that, hey, that sister, maybe it was still available. The same way, the Lord just brought somebody's picture to my mind. I said, yeah, I don't know, whatever happened to her, let me find out whether she's still in this church. And that was how sometimes the Lord will lead internally. Sometimes he can lead through dreams and visions. Sometimes he can lead through thoughts said the Lord. I know, the thoughts said the Lord, I want to say a little bit about that, because Brother Emmanuel shared something. Thank you, my sister, you can go forward. Brother. He said something about, some people say thoughts said the Lord to him too. But that is very questionable, not so. Like, anybody wants to have a question on that, comment on that, because thoughts said the Lord, where somebody else is prophesying, it has backfired among us in Nigeria. I heard about that. Where somebody came up and said, this thoughts said the Lord, this is not your brother, this is not your wife. I heard that that was going on among our brethren. Those are very delicate when somebody else prophesying, trying to say, this is what the Lord said. But if it's just like I heard something, that is not thoughts, like I say, brother called me and say, there's a sister here that is saying this. That is not thoughts, that is just, I heard something, somebody whisper something. But when somebody prophesy and say, hey, thoughts say the Lord, this sister is not your wife, or this sister is going to be your wife, many people always reject it, and I heard that that happens. Anybody have comments on that? Because we are about to wrap it up now. Or question on all these issues?
I have a question.
When Manuel said that his wife said she was fasting and she like kind of made a demand on the Lord, by this date, if this doesn't happen, then I'm going to do this. Like, how do you, can you give me more examples of how to get that right? Like, she doesn't know what to do. She said, I'm going to fast for 30 days, and if this doesn't happen, then I know that I'm supposed to do that.
Okay. You want to comment on that? What I will say is, most of the time, let me put this one in. Most of the time, if you look through the Bible, sometimes the Lord actually will inspire you to do that. It may look to you as if, geez, I'm desperate, I'm going to just put an ultimatum on the Lord. But sometimes the Lord actually put it in your heart to do that. All of these people in the Bible, you saw about Hannah, the mother of Samuel, where she suddenly decided that she was going to pray and say, if you give me a child, I'm going to give it back to you. You think he just made a foolish vow unto the Lord, or God put it in her heart? So that is what I'm trying to say. Sometimes it may look as if we are desperate now, we're just going to take this step, whereas it was actually the Lord moving you in that direction. And that of Anna, I can say it was actually the Lord pulling in that direction to make that vow. Not that God needed that vow to bring this child, but that was what happened in that case. So what I can say is that before that sister actually did that 30 days, she could have been the Lord just pulling her heart to just go in that direction. Does not mean that she needed to do that, or if God didn't answer, we should go to do something else. But that's how I can say that most of the time the Lord moves you to take some of those steps. It's what I can say. Any other comment on that?
Not on that.
Okay.
Something else.
All right.
Well, actually, what
you
I was
understand
gonna,
that?
What I was going to comment on before she asked that question was that God can actually use other people, like in your case, Prabhu. And actually, there was something in my case too. I forgot that when I was speaking on Sunday. You know, but something similar to confirm to me. And there's an example of that in the case of Gideon in the Bible. When the angel appeared to Gideon, and I believe in Judges chapter 6 or so, I was telling him he was a mighty man, this and that, and all the things that he was going to do, and he said, you know, and he was arguing that, well, if God be with us, why are we like this? So, God actually made somebody else to have a dream. And about the time that the person was telling his dream to his friend, he didn't understand. He said, "Look, I just saw a loaf of bread tumbling into the camp of the Syrians."
Midianites.
Midianites, mm-hmm. Right? And then he said, he didn't understand it. So his friend said, "Oh, that's nothing but the sword of Gideon. I mean, how can you interpret a loaf to be the sword of Gideon?" But God gave that man interpretation. But just at that time, prior to that happening, God had told Joshua, Gideon, that he should go down somewhere and eavesdrop on that conversation, and that, you know, he would hear something. And when he went there, he heard that conversation, and he heard the interpretation, and that gave him confidence that God was going to give the Midianites into his hand. So God can actually speak in that way too.
Yeah.
You know, just like he used Rabboni to let you know that somebody was there, you know, and so forth, you know, and it's also it's the case of the, you know, Gideon in the Bible also.
Yeah. And that is true. That actually became a catalyst for me to think in that direction and say, oh yeah, let's see what, and then the Lord came with another vision.
There are conditions come in the Bible. I remember Jonathan. I believe Jonathan, there was a war between Israelites and
the Philistines.
The Philistines. And Jonathan, the
son of Saul,
you know, made a condition and said, okay, you know, these are people waiting to kill them, and there are a lot of them down there. And they were like somewhere down the hill, and Jonathan was in an elevated distinct position. And he made a condition and said to God that him and his armor bearer, that is the person that carries his weapon, are going to go fight these people, and that they will show themselves to them. I can't remember all the story, but that if the Philistines that is in the valley or wherever they are say, okay, come up here, that by just by that statement, if they tell them to come to
them,
that by that statement he will know that the Lord has delivered the camp of the Philistines into his hand. So what happened was that he actually came up and showed himself, and then the Philistines said, come up here and we will kill you and scatter your body to the best of the earth and stuff.
Yeah.
And God confirmed to him that, okay, the condition you said, or what you said, that they will say that they have said it, and that become a confirmation to him.
Yeah. That is like the same thing. I said, how did he plan that God put it in his heart? Just like I said, the same with the servant of Abraham that went and said, I'm going to say, oh Lord, I'm going to say by this well. If the woman, any woman that came forward and I will ask for water, let her volunteer to give water to this camel. Then I will know that that is the woman you have chosen for Isaac. It looked like she was planning that in her mind, but actually God put it in his heart. That's what I'm saying. The same thing with Jonathan's story, because I have preached on that Jonathan story before. Jonathan simply said to his armor bearer, we are going to go and show ourselves to these Philistines. Let's go. And when we show ourselves, if they say this is how we're going to know. If they say, come, we go and attack them. If they say, you stay there, we're going to go get you, then we just stay, we won't go. And it became their signal that God wants us to go and attack them. Two of them, just the two of them now, not the rest of the army, because they sneak out of the camp. And sometimes the Lord will put those things in your heart to, and that is why I answer your question, because that's what the Lord just dropped in my head. How will you decide? The sister went and fasted 30 days and put an ultimatum on God. Is that right, or should anybody be doing that? If the Lord put it in her heart and she did it, that was really what happened. And that was the same story with Jonathan. The same story.
People usually do that when they find themselves at the end of the line.
Yes.
You know, in desperation kind of, and then God gives that moment to.
The same thing with Anna when she was looking for a child, and she has prayed and prayed and prayed, and then she decided and said, if you give me one, I will give it back to you, Lord. As if God is looking for that vow, and there comes to be. So that is how we could explain some of those. Any other question? Oh, my sister, want to say something? I think I saw you. Let's stop here.
Okay. Well, I was just going to make a comment on what you said. By the way, we came to see you at Lalata, so...
You came to see me?
That's not right.
In Lalata? I can't remember. Did you?
I don't remember.
I remember where you were at Lalata.
In Lalata?
Yeah, and also, when you moved to that house in Scotland...
Yeah, that's when you came.
And you said, you're getting ready. Actually, I was one of the people that was being worried a little bit. Brother, if you could get married, I pray for you. And when you got this house and said, oh, I'm getting ready to have my wife, I was so happy.
I was believing by faith.
By faith. And then, I don't know whether it was you or there was another person at the same time when we came to visit you. Is it that sister or some other sister? And I wasn't sure the person that came to ask me. Somebody came to ask me and said, do you know Sister Momo in Nigeria, Brother Chia's sister? And I said, what about her? He said, well, Brother Julian was thinking about her. And I want to know.
That must be after I fully started it.
Yeah, and I said, wow, I was so happy that Sister Grace, I said, she is so, actually, I described her as, oh, she's an angel.
Oh, I finally told you guys after we started. I remember coming to either your house or something, and I was mentioning that. Oh, yeah.
I was so happy that sometimes when you have the right person, people around you will be so happy for you. So that was what I was just going to say. Praise God.
Praise God. Yeah, not Lalata, but you came to Lalata. I can't remember. I know about Thomas came.
It's possible because I used to go everywhere.
Do you know Lalata? Have you been there before?
Yeah. I remember
that.
If she said so,
yeah, because some people could have come when I was not. But did you meet me?
Yeah.
Okay, because some people could have come and I was gone, because weekend I also would go to out of town. So in all these things that we just described, you can see how the Lord leads people. That's all we wanted to say, because sometimes we are not foolproof either. And let me just share some few things that the Lord has been doing recently in hearing from him, and we give him all the glory. Lord is wanting us to begin to exercise our hearing, and when we begin to exercise it, he will begin to lead us in a way that we will be dumbfounded ourselves, and he wanted to use us for greater things, because a mighty revival will come, and when that mighty revival comes, he's going to use people, and that's what he has been grooming us to prepare ourselves for. Even right here in this fellowship, may there be very few, very several occasions where the, maybe the pastor is preaching and is about to pray, and the Lord said, go to the back there. And I went to the back, right behind, and I'll just be praying, and the Lord just said, go talk to that fellow there. And he has done that one or two or three times, and I begin to get used to the voice he's trying to use, he's using to talk to me. And this time it's still the still small voice. I remember a sister that said, but you look like you are reading my mind. No, I didn't read your mind. The Lord just told me to go and tell her, go forward. Because she was contemplating whether to go for the prayer, whether to go. And I just said, go tell her to go forward. I just said, go forward. And she just went and she said, but you look like you are reading my mind. I said, no, I'm not reading. And the Lord just told me to go tell you to go forward because you are fighting the battle in your mind. She wanted to go forward. The devil is trying to say, don't go. And that's always up on. And the Lord just needed help. Or she needed help. The Lord said, hey, go tell her to go forward. And several occasions like that, I was there when, do you remember the woman that brought cancer, was having cancer over there? And we have prayed for her, And then one particular day, Bariato was praying for, and people were gathered in the front here. And I was just coming to the back. The Lord just told me to tell that little boy, the son that they are bringing, the son of that woman, tell that little to go and stand in proxy for his mom. So I went straight to Bracken's mom, who was standing with you, and Bracken was already in the front. Bracken's mom was there in the back. And I said, brother, sister, mama, take that little boy to go and stand in proxy for his mom. Because that's what the Lord just told me. And truly the Lord, like Abba said, it's good to be obedient. The woman just carried the boy. The boy was struggling and brought the boy to Bracken. Bracken carried the boy and they prayed for the mom. That was when the Lord wanted to do that wonders. And the woman came back and gave the testimony because we are praying in our house. The first time he told us that, oh yeah, this boy, his mom is this, and we pray for her. But that day was the Lord wanted to deliver that woman who was somewhere in Casa Grande. But the Lord has been doing that if you just will listen and wait for him to tell us. And he's going to be doing more and more and more. It became very common. Listen, I said, well, Lord, thank you. And he wants us to open up our mind to him. When things are happening, when we are praying like that, he will move among the congregation. He's going to do more of that if we will be available. Amen? Make yourself available to the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think that is how we're going to wrap it up. Let's just stand up and praise the Lord and thank him. Thank him. Father, we thank you, Lord. Father, we praise you, Lord. Father, we exalt you. We worship you. Let your name, O Lord, be praised. We do not know much, but you are the one, Lord, that is teaching us. You are the one that is speaking. And if you don't speak, we can't hear anything. We want you to speak to us, Lord, to guide us, to lead us, especially for our own good. When we want to have investment, he said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that thou shalt go. That is your promise, Lord, and we love it. And we want you to instruct us, Lord. We want you to teach us in the way that we should go so that we can prosper. You are the one that gives us power to get wealth. But this wealth is right here on hand, and we have to be led to it. So lead us, Lord. But lead us not into temptation, like the Lord Jesus Christ said, which you pray. Lead us not into temptation. And deliver us from all evil. Yes. For thine, Lord, is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Shall we say the grace, or you want to say any? Let's share the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Praise the Lord.